So, Hare Krishna. Today, we will continue our Leela. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked why he had given exact descriptions in his Chaitanya Charitamrita, how to reach the different places of Lord Chaitanya's associates. And he said, when people read these descriptions, they understand that it is very real. You remember there are descriptions to come there. You go to this train station. Then you take a boat and come to this village. And from that village, it's only 3 more kilometers. And then you come to such and such place where an associate of Mahaprabhu lived. So today I would like to follow this example and show you a little bit of the transcendental topography of the places which we deal with. It's important to start with the directions which are shown by this Vaishnava sun. Here is south, up there east, west, and north. The place of Krishna's parents in Gokula was inhabited on the south by Nanda and Yashoda. On the east, there was a Narayan Mandir, which was always visited each morning by Nanda Maharaj. And just opposite, in good view of the parents, was the storehouse with the beautiful pots of yogurt and butter which Krishna stole. You can see the vast variety of containers. There is even a monkey and a cow. And very much in the south was the Yamuna River, which is here, but there was a gate in the southeast which led in and out of the compound, and before that gate are the twin Arjuna trees with the cursed devatas Nalakuvera and Manigriva inside. From this road, which passed by these trees, this is a well-kept road which went to the main road which went through the village of Gokula. For lack of place and artistic imagination, we have not been able to paint this for you. So this is the Nanda Bhavan. And the pastime which we are looking at takes place in the central courtyard of Nanda Maharaj's and Yashoda's residence, which is cornered by these buildings which we have said. We only missed one information which we could not produce so fast. What is on the western side? What buildings are there? And if there is a learned Vaishnava who can give us this information now, we would be grateful, but there's also something there. So it's important to understand here is a closed courtyard in which this pastime place takes place, with a Narayan Mandir here, and the two twin Arjuna trees, which are like a V joined together at the ground, a crossing here where something important will happen. I might refer to this drawing a few times during the remainder of the katha for various purposes, one of which is that we can really have a clear picture of the reality as it is of Nanda Bhavan and this pastime, as it is revealed by our acharyas. Hare Krishna. How do you appreciate this original piece of art? Atul Krishna, after completing his Gurukul education, had the abilities to and skills to draw it. Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavani Paskatyade Satarine He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Shinnu Vaivacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. As Mother Yashoda ran behind Krishna, not everyone was satisfied. Krishna's energies were not satisfied. They said, this is too much. How can the Supreme Brahman, how can Paramatma be caught? The flowers in Mother Yashoda's braid were also not satisfied. They thought, this is dear Krishna. He's a small boy. He's so afraid. He runs, and we can all see there's fear. Only this mother can't see it. But we won't be part of this crime of chasing Krishna. And therefore, they jumped out of the braid of Yashoda and went and fell on the ground. Because they were conscious entities. In Braj, everything is conscious. Not only the plants, like the trees, but also each single flower. Even the milk is conscious. So the flowers didn't want to be partying. They didn't want to be on the side of Yashoda for catching Krishna, because they thought he's already so afraid. So they jumped out of the braid in an conscious act of disassociating themselves from punishing Krishna. Now Krishna took it differently. He thought, my mother is completely covered with perspiration. Out of love for me, she wants to straighten me out. And afterwards she will feed me and give me her love. That's all right. Prabhupada then takes, Prabhupada comments this Leela. He continues by taking the tone of Krishna's thought. He said, but unless I agree, no one can bind me. In other words, Prabhupada says, one must be in transcendental love with Krishna. But even if that does not mean that one can control Krishna, even this doesn't mean it. Only when Krishna is satisfied with one's devotional service, he does everything by himself. And this is exactly what happened. When Krishna's greatest, when Krishna was satisfied by the hard labor of Mother Yashoda, something so wonderful happened in his heart. It is said that the greatest of Krishna's Shakti ascended the throne of his heart. There are many Shaktis of Krishna, the Srishti Shakti, for instance, by which he creates this material energy. Then Prabhupada has often spoken about the Agatana-Gatana Shakti, that is a Shakti which makes the impossible possible. But what, I asked you, is the greatest of Krishna's Shakti, which you consider the highest? I couldn't. Bhakta Vatsala, someone says. That's more a quality. We look for a Shakti now. Shyam Chandra, the moon of Shyam, says Kriva Shakti, the merciful energy. That always is and remains the biggest of Krishna's energies, because by his Kripa Shakti, everything is possible, and things are also overruled by his Kripa Shakti. Laws are overruled. Kripa Shakti is very powerful because it can overrule all the other statements of the Lord and all the other Shaktis and so on. So this, therefore she is called, the Kripa Shakti is called the Chakravartini. Chakravartini, chakra means a circle, and Vartini, a controller. So the Chakravartini is the one who controls the circle of all the other Shakti. It's the queen which arose to subside all the other lesser energy. And in this way, Krishna agreed, okay, let it be done. She can bite me now. But there was something which Krishna reserved for himself, making a lesson. He was not bound very easily. You remember when Mother Yashoda tried by adding ropes, the ropes remained 2 fingers too short. And I am well aware that in many, many lectures in our movement, the 2 fingers were very thoroughly dealt with. What I mean, I will just briefly mention it. The Lord wanted to show by this 2 fingers lacking that there are 2 things necessary to bind him. First is parishrama, the endeavor on the part of the devotee. And the second is his kripa, his own mercy. And I feel this is a secret of bhakti, which Shukadev Goswami, in his retelling of the pastime, highlights very much. He stops in the midst of narrating this pastime because he is so absolutely excited about this thing that the Krishna gets bound. And he addresses Parikshit by saying, Oh Maharaj Parikshit, you are as dear to me as my own body. You know, he appreciates Parikshit's genuine interest in hearing about these subject matters. I think all those who give lectures appreciate a sincere and serious audience. And I mean, I must make you a compliment. You are, as we say in German, Mucksmäuschen still. For those of you, this is very difficult to translate. It means you are very silent, like a mouse who wants to get to the cheese. He will not make any noise because he has a good aim. So he wants to get to the cheese. So you also want to get to the essence and see if it is something which you can take home with you and apply to your life with benefit. So you are Mucksmäuschen still. So he says, Shukadev Goswami, so exciting. I'm so excited to tell this Leela. He says, Oh Maharaj Parikshit, you are as dear to me as my own body. Consider this entire universe with the great demigods, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra. Everything is under the full control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Elsewhere he describes everyone as like a puppet, not able to move independent from the strings which control it. Yet, think of this, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has everything under his thumb, so to say, has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. And this was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. Now, Prabhupada clarifies this God becoming under someone's control. He says, this Brityavasyata, means coming under the control of the servant, does not really mean that he is under the control of the servant. No. Rather, he is under the control of the servant's love. Yes. Yes. There are many examples of Krishna coming under the control of his servant's love. And I would like to give you just a few so that we can a little bit more dive into the, I would say emotionally dive into the pastime. One thing which comes to mind is that Krishna has millions of goddesses of fortune who serve his every wish. He is very, very opulent. You know about this. But nevertheless, he takes to the despicable job of stealing and thievery, blunt thievery, as if he is a poverty-stricken person, just so that he fulfills the desire of the Brijbasis or the devotees to feed him. He fulfills it in a playful way. I think I told you yesterday when the gopis churn milk and braj, they have one meditation, oh, may Krishna come and steal this milk. Because they like to stand in the courtyard of their houses, covered behind the trees and the walls, and see Krishna stealthily entering their houses with 100 eyes, seeing where are they coming, the gopis, to catch me. And they like this pastime very much. There is a very nice little pastime which they tell in the Braj Pandits tell this. Once the gopis banded together to catch Krishna red-handed while stealing. And what they did is, they set up a trap. They put a clay pot with butter high in the branches of a tree, and then put many, many bells in the tree so that Krishna, when he would come up, would move on the branches, and it would make an alarming sound, ring, 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 ring. And in this way, tell the gopis that Krishna was up in the tree stealing butter. So Krishna came up. He saw the many bells everywhere, and he hushed them. He said, "Psh, be silent now. Don't betray me." So he then went further to the clay pot with yogurt and started to take his hand. The bells were absolutely silent as he moved from branch to branch. Not one bell made a sound because the order was there. Then he reached into the butter pot, took the butter out, put it on his in his mouth, and at that moment, all the bells went off. Ring! And the gopis came running and surrounded the tree. And Krishna said, "Are? I told you not to ring, and you have kept that order for quite some time, but then now every one of you rang. What goes on in your brain, if you have a brain?" So the bell said, "Oh Bhagavan," they must have said very sweetly, "make up your mind. In the Shastras you say whenever you eat, a bell must be rung. So when you said don't ring, we followed the order because you were not eating. But then when you ate, we had to follow the Shastras. These are your order and word, and we rang. So is it ringing or not ringing?" Krishna was trapped by logic. But now how would he get out of this? The gopis were laughing and saying, "Ah, Gopal, what are you doing in the tree so close to the butter pot?" Krishna said, "I'm looking for my calf." "Are Gopal? Since when do calves climb trees?" "No, my calves are a little skillful," said Krishna. Then he took his hand into the amazing butter pot and took out a marble calf, which by his Agatana Gatana Shakti, the Shakti which makes impossible things possible, had been manifested in the butter. "Here, I found it. Ah, good." And again, the gopis were just charmed, and they enjoyed this pastime very much. They very much enjoyed Krishna's dexterity, his skillfulness, and his argumentative words which confuse everyone. They're very much like. So Krishna engages in such sporting pastimes, although he has no need for them. There is no need for him to do this, only to exchange loving pastimes. Another pastime which came to mind is Yamaraj, the controller of all living entities, fears the order. He has a stick, a Yamadanda, in his hand, and no one can escape Yamaraj's punishment or when he comes as death. But he fears Krishna's order. Yet Krishna himself becomes afraid of his mother's stick. we know that Krishna rules and overrules Yamaraj by the pastime which Rupa Goswami quotes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where Krishna came to Yamaraj to claim the son of his teacher Sandipani Muni, who was there in Samyamanipur, that is the town of Yamaraj, the town of death, and who had been divested of his damaged body. You know, he had been devoured by a demon, and he was without a body, and he was there in great fear. And Krishna simply came to him and said, Yamaraj, you must give me this boy now. And Yamaraj immediately followed the order of the Lord. Well, first he objected. He said, you wouldn't like to see him. He's so badly damaged or beaten up. Krishna said, no problem, bring him. Then that panic-filled soul was coming before Krishna. Krishna put the cooling glance on him, restored him to sanity, and brought him back to give him to Sandipani Muni. Another example of Krishna coming under the control is during the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Arjuna had made a vow that either he would kill this demon, Jayadrat, who had heinously conspired and had orchestrated the unfair killing of Arjuna's son Abhimanyu. So when Arjuna heard about this, he said, I will have to take revenge, and if I'm not successful, I will go into the fire and immolate myself, burn myself up. So when the Kauravas heard this, they all danced in joy and made the needle formation. It's a long, long formation where all the armies come, all the members in the armies come behind each other, and there's kilometers of army. So Arjuna had to penetrate every Maharati who was found opposing his way. And when the sun set, he was not even close to Jayadrat. He was still a distance away, I wanted to say, from Jayadrat. So Krishna thought, my God, now he will burn himself. And Arjuna did this. He went prepared to make a fire and go into the fire, because he had not fulfilled his vow as a Kshatriya. So I cannot tolerate this. I cannot see it. So while the opposing party was celebrating and Jayadrat was dancing, he was saved. Krishna took his hand and made the sun, who had set already in the western horizon, come up again. And it was becoming sun, and Krishna said to Arjuna, now. And Arjuna, who was so dejected, what? Sun is there. And was successful in fulfilling his vrata by Krishna's mercy. I once heard that in the thick of the fight, Krishna, who acted as a charity for Arjuna, was really becoming absolutely under control, because to direct Krishna, Arjuna would take both of his feet on the shoulders of Krishna, and he had no time to say left and right, so he made with his legs left, right, and Krishna followed. Krishna is subdued by the love of his devotees. There are innumerable other examples But the one which I find is most touching my own heart is when Sudama Vipra had visited Krishna in Dwaraka, Krishna accompanied Sudama on his return journey. He brought him through the town of Dwaraka and led the way, because he thought Sudama is such a wonderful devotee. He has given me something beyond his means, something for which he had to beg, a broken rice. He's such a devotee, so full of love, such premi bhakti. And I want that my kingdom is purified by the dust from his feet. So he was leading him to the route he wanted to have. Then Krishna led him away, but then he returned with a heavy heart. He said, this devotee loves me so much and I can't return his love, because the gift he gave me is something which I cannot return in kind. He has given me something beyond his means. Now I should give him something beyond my means, but there is nothing in existence which is beyond me. It's all mine. I have created it. So again, my devotee has outdone me. Yes, I will give him a palace and a park, but my devotee is not interested in all of this. My devotee is always superior to me, and that controls me absolutely. So Krishna felt like this to Sudama, in the relationships to Sudama. This falling under the control of the devotee's love is something which we need to explore a little bit deeper, and then we want to relate it to our situation. Is Krishna also controlled by Jai Gopal and by Krishna Das and by Subhadra Devi Dasi? I'm just making up some names. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita it says, Bhakta ama prema bandi yache hridaya bitare yahan netra pade tahan dekaya amare. A highly elevated devotee can bind me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his heart by his love. Wherever such a devotee looks, he sees me, me alone, and nothing else. And there are other brahmanas in the Bhagavatam we find. Aham bhakta paradino hyasvatantra ivadvija sadubhya grasta hridayo bhakter bhakta jana priya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to the Brahmana, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Can someone understand who was that Brahmana to whom he spoke? Durvasa Muni, who had offended Ambarish Maharaj. So the Lord told him, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I'm not at all independent, because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires. I sit only within the course of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. It means we disciples and grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada seem to be very dear to the Lord. When I read this, because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the course of their hearts. I thought, okay, here we have a Krishna's controlled by the pure devotees, but not by me. He's bound by those who are very, very advanced, but not by me. I am not free from all desires. I'm not yet an Ekanti Bhakta who only sees Krishna like the bee is only interested in honey and doesn't see anything else. I'm trying, but I'm not convinced of my success in my attempts. So, but then I thought very deeply. There are ways in which Krishna even is in a way bound to reliable action or reliable reciprocation to any devotee, even those who are not yet insiders of his direct associates. And a couple of ways come to mind. One is that although the devotee cannot yet exclusively fix his mind on Krishna and has still some anyabhilasita, some other desires than only Krishna's satisfaction, Krishna takes care that the devotee is not defeated by material desires and can stay on the path. When there is a devotee who sincerely and honestly and frankly and freely admits, I'm not yet on the level where I am an exclusive devotee. Krishna is not speaking about the pretenders who say, I'm very good. Yes. Inside I know I'm not so good. But I'm like an apple which has a very shiny surface and the people don't see that it's rotten inside. I can get away with this. If Krishna sees that a devotee sincerely regrets saying that, my Lord, I am not yet able to give you all the love because I'm under adverse circumstances at the moment. I'm attacked by my bad qualities. Then Krishna makes an arrangement to even fulfill these desires, but in a way that the devotee is not further entangled in Maya. I could see this. I like to travel. Now it's subdued. Now I don't like to travel any longer. But I was in the devotional service able to go to the Himalayas, to circumambulate Mountain Kailash, to go to precious places in India, see everything to my heart's content, and walk over the Red Square in Moscow with my own German feet. Everything was fulfilled, but in a way that it was within the preaching mission. And I can see now, as I become older, that Krishna takes care that the many multifarious teenage desires, foolish desires, are coming away, coming out, without the need to entangle. This is Krishna's care. And the Lord speaks about this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he says very nicely that my devotee wants something which is foolish, but I don't want to give this to him, but so let me give it in such a way that in the end my devotee is attached to me only. So Krishna in this way relates to his devotees. He comes in the control of this devotees. And how Krishna hears even the immature devotee's prayer is very nicely explained in the Shastras by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says, when a devotee reads verses such as this from from Gopal Tapani Upanishad, the sadhaka thinks of the wonderful beauty of Krishna. Concentrating his mind in this way, he gradually becomes joyful under the impression that he is meditating on the Lord, though he is not fully realized and cannot even meditate steadily on the effulgence surrounding Krishna's transcendental body. The verse is, it's a verse for meditation, and the devotee reads this verse and he thinks, let me meditate, but he is not even able to meditate about the Brahman, what to speak of Krishna. So, but Krishna says, he thinks he's doing, he's imagining things. The Supreme Lord, this is the verse, appearing in his two-armed form, had divine lotus eyes, a complexion the color of a cloud, and garments that resemble lightning. He wore a garland of forest flowers, and his beauty was enhanced by his pose of meditative silence. So the devotee thinks, let me meditate. What was it? Two-armed form, divine lotus eyes, a complexion like a rain cloud. I can keep this all in my mind. Dodhi as lightning. Oh, yes, I'm feeling something. I'm meditating. Krishna said, he is trying, but he's imagining something. He's not yet so advanced. Nevertheless, Vishwanath says, Vaishik Krishna is moved by the waves of his causeless mercy and thinks, oh, how wonderful. That devotee there is meditating on me. And then when the sadhaka becomes mature, Krishna brings that beloved devotee to his feet and engages him in confidential service. What I want to get off is, even when a devotee is doing all this and thinks, oh yes, I'm chanting Hare Krishna very nicely, it's going very nicely, 64 rounds, and so on. We are beginners. But Krishna understands, this devotee is trying so hard. Let me help him to mature, and then I will take him to me and engage him in my confidential service. In other words, Krishna receives and accepts the service attempts even of an immature devotee. And he is very grateful for every little service which is done. So in that way, the Krishna also becomes connected, or if you want, bound with the devotees. But let us go back to the Braj atmosphere. There's a wonderful verse of Bilva Mangala Thakur which describes how Krishna is so much happy with the love of the Brijbasis. The verse says, hey Krishna, you play in the Gopas courtyard, which are full with cow dung and mud, but you hesitate to step into the super clean yagyashalas of brahmanas who perform the Vedic yagyas. These brahmanas do everything, swaha, swaha, swaha. Everything is spotlessly clear. Everything is done according to the Vedic rituals. But Krishna doesn't show up in the yagyasthalas. Instead, he prefers to run around through the cow dung paddies or cow dung heaps of the cows and become cow dungy. And in this way, when the cows and the calves call out moo, you imitate the same sounds, moo. But when the jnanis chant Sanskrit stotras, you become mona, silent, and you do not answer them as if you don't hear them. You hear the cows saying moo, and you answer back, moo. But the jnanis, who have no love for you, you keep mounam, you are silent. O Krishna, you become the servant of the gopis, and whenever they order you, now carry this pot, bring water here, etc., you serve them. You do not have anything to do with the Munishvaras and Yogeshvaras who pray, let me become your das, and please you become our Swami. No, you don't feel inclined to them, as if you say to them, don't disturb me with your prayers. You disturb my flute playing. But the gopas and the gopis who call out for Krishna, Krishna immediately becomes bound. There's a beautiful story which I heard from His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj. There was one newly arrived gopi who wanted to see Krishna. And when she inquired as to his whereabouts, she found out that Krishna was doing menial services in the Goshala of Nanda Bhavan, Nandagram. So the gopis so much wanted to see Krishna, but she needed a pretext, a reason she could give so that she would be accepted. So she went with an empty basket, and she saw Krishna cleaning the cow sheds. And then the gopi said, Krishna. Yes, said Krishna, why have you come here? I came here to get some dry cow dung for burning. Acha, said Krishna, but you need to give some price for this. Yes, said the gopis, I'm willing. And she feasted her eyes on Krishna's beauty. What do you charge for one basket of goba? One ball of butter. So the gopi filled the basket full with many of these dry cow dung patties. And she said to Krishna, my dear Krishna, it is so heavy. Can you help me by pushing this basket up and then put it on my head? And so Krishna said, okay, and brought it up. And then the gopi was very close and could see Krishna, very, very close. Then as she was turning and going, she said, I will come back. I need more goba, more cow dung patties. I said, Krishna, oh, then it becomes very difficult to calculate the price, because how do I know how many baskets you take? And the gopi said, I have one idea to count it. I just take a little cow dung and make one line on your cheek, if that is all right. And this is how we count it. Krishna immediately, yes. This is Vrindavan, they talk like this. Once Prabhupada was asked, can you tell us some stories about Krishna? Prabhupada said, ask the Brijbasis. they know many. Something which illustrates the point, how dear and near and close Krishna is to these Braj devotees, and how he is very much agreeable to come under the control or to come to the devotees. See, I like very much the concept not of a distant God who's distant, whose prayers don't, where our prayers don't reach him. I need to be encouraged in my bhakti that the Lord hears the prayers of his devotees. He is not a person. Krishna is not someone who's just in sitting there and judging the conditioned souls, but he can become pleased by parishrama, by hard labor in his service, and he becomes bound to his devotees and becomes very much receptive and reciprocates with them. So I would like to, before I go on with the katha, with the pastimes, I would like to just sing a little bit with you, because Sanatana Goswami, he makes this point that Krishna becomes bound a little bit when we hear about him. Krishna becomes bound a little bit more when we meditate about him, but he is there bound with a chain, iron chain, when we do what? Sankirtan, yes. So let us do this a little bit. And I request you this time to make an effort, a parishrama, during your kirtan, to really sing the way you sung yesterday evening, with full strength or very much focused. Control your mind during this. Make an effort to control the aparadas which we make during kirtan, which is mostly to be inattentive. But just let us be there. And let us think about Krishna being so kind to be bound by his devotees.